Is the tape running there? Like, Jean? Sorry to interrupt your party you're having over there. But is the tape running?
Yeah.
Okay, good, okay. Need to pray for Asufu that he gets a car. Because he was a pastor in Niger. And he just is raring to go to serve the Lord and serve this body. And we want to make sure he's well equipped. And how many of you gotten to know him, Asufu and Esta? Heck, is that all? Oh, the rest of you got to get to know these people. He's just awesome, you know. Let's pray. Father, take over right now, God. I'm really excited about what I want to talk about. But God, when I get excited about what I want to talk about, sometimes I can get in the way. And Lord, how many times do we pray it? Just about every Sunday. God, this wonderful, your bride here, your wonderful family here, God, your church here, they don't need to hear from John Council. Now, they need to hear from their pastor, like what you've put me, the office you've given me. But God, we need to hear from you. And Lord, Sunday after Sunday, you speak to us. You do great things. And we need you to do it again today, God. Lord, I really believe there's stuff that we're going to talk about today, God, that we're going to be able to use, Lord, to really open up people's eyes, and it's going to encourage us to. Lord, do everything you want to do through your word this morning, please. Amen. Why God? Two, okay? It's seven parts, okay? And if all goes the way it's going to go, it doesn't make sense to believe. I'm sure in discussions you've had with people, you've heard that. Doesn't make sense to believe. Science has already proven. Oh my goodness. Anyway, I don't want to sound biased or anything. I want to sound as objective as I can here. But you've come across that thought often that it doesn't make sense. Science proves it's futile to believe. And hold it. You know, I went to school too, you know, and I read books too. And there's actually some intelligent, you know, YouTube clips out there. Most of them are garbage, but some of them are really good. Like, you know, my dad, we had a guy in our church in Windsor. His last name was Novakovsky, okay? And he was a survivor of the Holocaust. He was a Jew. He had the tattoo and everything, you know? And one line that I remember, I was 10 years old when we left Windsor for the first time. But we took a line from Novakovsky, and he used to challenge my dad when my dad would preach. And he used to say this about the people that came to church. We think too, you know, okay? People are not dumb if they really just step back and think about things. Science can tell you what human life is. Oh yeah, they got the genome mapped and everything, and you can sit all day watching really good documentaries on nature, you know, from Discovery and National Geographic, okay? They could tell you all about human life in minute material detail. But it can't tell you, science can't tell you what life ought to be. Got that? It can tell you what it is, but they can't tell you what life ought to be. Science, know-how, creates wonderful technology, but it's ignorant of how that technology should be used. Those of you in the high-tech industry, okay, if you you know there's a big Elon Musk and these people, there's a lot of people warning about artificial intelligence and where this could go, okay? And they're painting some pretty scary scenarios. I gotta hand it to them. Because some of those guys that are painting scary scenarios, they know that, you know, the humanity doesn't have a very good record of creating something wonderful and it going wrong. Okay? There's a song I might even sing later on that spells out even better than what I'm saying right now. We'll see if we get to it. The guy that created Apple, okay, was Steve Wozniak. Okay, I want to believe that something survives, that maybe your consciousness survives. So these isms, you've heard these ones, secularism, atheism, modernism, humanism, all of them have proven that all those isms cannot give moral guidance to the use of technology. Okay, or the decisions of governments and how we should live our lives. Look, we live in the freest, our continent is, as far as democracy is concerned, freest countries in the world. And look at how much we argue and fight. Look at how much the opinions that go back and forth. It's just, it's nasty, you know? And we're the freest place on earth, supposedly. If you want me to believe in God, you have to prove he exists. Have you heard that one? If you want me to prove to me he exists. Well, give him this line. The more I study science, the more I believe in God. Okay? Einstein, now he was not a Christian, he was not a believer, this guy had moral problems like you wouldn't believe, but he was smart enough to know that there was a mind behind everything. He was smart, and he would get in arguments with people, don't give me crap that, you know, there's no God. I know there's a God. There has to be. There has to be. You can't explain the universe. And there are many, many quotes about science and God, and he said some of the most brilliant things you can about the topic, okay? How can you prove, now, here's, when people say, prove to me that God exists, okay? Well, otherwise I won't believe. We believe all kinds of things we can't prove. All kinds of things. Our society is filled with belief that we can't prove. How can you prove that all men are created equal? And deserve justice? How can you prove that? Hard to prove, but we believe it, don't we? Oh man, we'll die for that one. How can you prove that everybody's got rights? Yet we believe we do. How can you prove, oh, and this just fuels music and the entertainment industry like nothing else. How can you prove the line that says, love conquers all? Oh, you can give anecdotal evidence, but you can't measure that in a library. Okay? But everybody believes that. All of us have things that we believe in that we would die for, but they can't be proven. Okay? It's like, you know, how do you know when you meet the right one? You know what the most common answer is? You'll just know. You don't know! You can't analyze it, but boy, oh boy, people live and die by that subjective feeling, don't they? Okay? To state there is no God, or that there is a God, okay? Get this? To state that there is a God, and that there is no God. Both of them are statements of faith, okay? They are statements of faith. If you want to believe there's no God, great. You got more faith than I do. You really do. Okay? When you say that science should be our only measure for truth, you did not come to that conclusion scientifically. No way. Mm-mm. You can't come to that conclusion scientifically. That's a belief. That is a belief system. You need to recognize it for that. So when you encounter this atheistic, snobby, oh, well, you know, I don't believe in anything. You know, that because academia is full of that, you know, like really smart people don't believe in God. Atheism is not the suspension of belief. It is another belief system, okay? It's a belief system that requires faith. It has its prophets. It has its propaganda. It tries to convince people. It's not, please don't buy into this thing of, you know, well, atheism is the absence of faith. That's garbage, okay? And that is them playing superiority games. Oh, we're above everybody, okay? Got nothing to do with that at all. That's a belief, okay? You need to hammer that down in your hearts right now. And even an honest atheist, an open-hearted atheist, and I've met them, they're good, some of them are really great people. They'll admit that, okay? Our science is based on beliefs about the universe, okay, that can neither be proven or disproven. They argue about it all the time. So secularism chooses, by faith, to believe. There's no really objective view. Well, we believe in the Big Bang. Why? Were you there? Well, the evidence is there. Yeah, but the evidence can be interpreted in all kinds of different ways that are just as scientific and just as measurable as your objective opinion. Or your supposed objective opinion. Okay? Now, take a look at the Big Bang. Okay? And a lot of you have heard me repeat this, but this is one you need to memorize. Okay? Big Bang. It makes you believe that nothing plus nothing times blind chance plus billions of years equals everything. Okay? Now, not a lot of people sit down and really think about the consequences of that, but when you do, you come to the realization that, whoa, you gotta have more faith than I got to believe that. Way more. Way more. We believe in morality. We believe in morality, don't we? You know? being true and not cheating on your spouse and not stealing and, you know, not lying. We believe that stuff. That's important. Why? Where does that come from? Where does that come from? Okay? If we're just decaying pieces of matter in a decaying universe, because that's the implications of the whole atheistic thought that rules academia, that rules the entertainment system, that rules our laws, okay? If we're all just decaying pieces of matter in a decaying universe, why do even most atheists believe that we should live a life of love towards each other? Why do they think that? Why shouldn't we live selfishly if we can get away with it? I mean, come on, survival of the fittest. You take that out of their equation, the whole thing tumbles down. That's how we got here. That's why we're so great, because we've evolved to this, you know, wonderful state. Well, they say our morality has evolved. Oh, we really? Explain that. If our morality has evolved, explain pedophilia to me. Explain ISIS. Explain corruption. Yeah, it's really evolved. Explain the slaughter of millions in vicious, horrible wars. Yeah, sure. This universal justice for all men and all men are created belief, that belief was nowhere until the cross of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? That belief was nowhere. It was non-existent before the cross of Jesus Christ. Because the Greeks, they were the dominant culture at Christ's time, and there were other cultures before them that were even more brutal. The Greeks taught that there was a natural hierarchy. Some were created to govern, some to serve, some to fight. The Egyptians, okay, they had the same basic belief, but they believed that the pharaohs and anybody related to them were semi-gods. They were even higher up than the workers and the officers and the soldiers and the warriors and everything. Thick, thick caste system. Concern for the poor. Equality, justice, elevating others and protecting them, all that stuff has its origins in the Bible. Not in the Hammurabi Code, okay? Not in the ancient writings of the Sumerians that, like, well, the Bible's just based on all that other stuff. Excuse me? Get your biased head out of your, I won't offend anybody, okay? Give me a break. All that stuff had its origins in biblical Christianity. There was none of that talk before Christ. That's why when he came along, people went, what? Are you kidding? That's why he ruffled the Pharisees' feathers, because they followed the Old Testament, but they had a real, who sinned, you know, that they were born blind? You know, they even had that in their culture. Evolution. We're a product of, this is, you know what they teach, okay? We're a product of the strong eating the weak. But every human has human dignity. Where'd that come from? If we're a product of the strong eating the weak. It's a contradiction, isn't it? So, atheism and secularism, progressivism, modern, whatever you want to call it, it's not the absence of faith. It's a set of new beliefs. It's a set of beliefs. You could call it a cult, okay? It is a religion. It's a religion! We believe in the freedom of religion. No, you don't! You believe in stamping out everything except atheism, which is a religion in itself, okay? Let's call it for what it is. This pompous intellectual nonsense, if you see the loopholes, you can poke right through it. See, come on, okay? Why do you think Hosea 4 and 6 says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? And they are. And I'm not wanting to turn you into, you know, philosophical intellectuals here. I just want to let you know that, you know, you're on the right side of truth here. The Bible can be defended. You're not going to go out there and argue somebody into the kingdom of God. But it's going to equip you that I can put up with this person's nonsense. I can love them. I can be compassionate. I can be tolerant because I know where I'm coming from. I know it's true. You're never going to take this stuff and argue people in the camp. Please don't get into arguments with this, okay? This is not for you to win arguments in the workplace. This is for you to know that you know that you know that God is real, okay? And he stands. Now, some of you may get called into this because some people go down this road and God's opened the door for them to do that kind of stuff, okay? Look up. How many ever heard of Ravi Zacharias? Oh, did you hear the gasp? Okay. I think he spoke at the last national prayer breakfast here, okay? Ravi Zacharias, I put his name out there because, like, I know you guys go on YouTube. Start looking up some of the stuff that this guy does. This guy's so smart. Ravi Zacharias' sister and his brother-in-law were part of our church in St. Catharines. His niece, Heidi, did the keyboards for us, and our youth ministry were there. Fantastic family. This guy, if you want fodder about the intellectual common sense of what the Bible's all about and how it totally just destroys all the isms out there and exposes them for the utter foolishness that they are. And he does it in such a gracious way, in a compassionate way. Doesn't offend anybody. In fact, I've watched this guy take questions. I mean, I did, you know, the radio show I did. I mean, when I watched Rabbi Zacharias operate, I thought, what was I doing for 30 years? That was Mickey Mouse. This guy, the atheists get up these, you know, philosophy PhDs. And he is so kind and so gentle and totally disarms their system of thought like you wouldn't believe and has them feeling that they're loved at the same time. Isn't that great? That's the anointing, man. That's the anointing. You got to see this guy operate just for the Christ-like love he has. Unbelievable. So there's a little tip for you. Go watch Rabbi Zacharias' stuff, okay? It's a new set of beliefs. They got their own problems. They got their own contradictions like every other belief system, okay? Christianity has problems. Yes, it does. It has contradictions. Yes, it does. Is the Bible perfect? Yes. Is it the Word of God? Yes. Is it inerrant? Yes. But there are all sorts of people that bring different interpretations of the Bible and they get arguing with each other. Okay? There's a lot of stuff in the Bible that make me want to scratch my head. Okay? Well, what keeps you going? I've shared this thought often. I don't think I've shared it once since we've met as a church family here. Okay? The Bible sells itself as being of supernatural origin. It sells itself, it presents itself as the Word of God. Its origin is from the infinite, from the eternal, okay? So, if me, being a normal guy, if I could figure everything out in the Bible, if everything made sense to me, that would tell me that its origin was not supernatural. Because there's stuff in there that drives me crazy. There's stuff in there that I scratch my head. Come on, you gotta be kidding me. Well, that makes sense that if it's from a supernatural origin, and you see, this is why this whole atheism, humanism, secularism thing, this is why it's such an ego trip. These guys are such pinheads that they operate from the vantage point that if I can't understand it, it must not be real. Oh, come on. You gotta be kidding me, okay? But that's a lot of them, that's at the core of it, okay? When I come across, for instance, the Trinity, how do you explain the Trinity? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Father speaking. This is my Son who I'm one, and they're one. I and the Father are one. You know, I mean, there's whole religious groups that say, can't handle it, we're going to do Jesus only. In fact, if you don't baptize in Jesus' name, none of this Holy Spirit stuff, like, I mean, it's just confusing. It's confusing. I still can't explain the Trinity, okay? How do you explain that God has lived forever? He has no beginning, he's no end. I remember staying up at night when I was 7, 8 years old trying to figure that out, getting a migraine headache. I couldn't get a migraine, but you know, it bothered me. First migraine was when I was 13. I was playing badminton on a Sunday. That was another story. Okay, there's stuff that I can't explain, which tells me, okay, there's probably something to this here. In fact, if it was made by men, the Bible, there's no way you'd put those stories in there. If you're trying to promote your religion, if you're trying to convince people, you tell me you're going to put that story about the guy whose daughter was raped and he cut her up into 12 pieces and stepped pieces to all the different tribes of Israel? You'd put that story in a book that you were trying to say, hey, join my religion. Are you crazy? Come on. In fact, I remember writing in my journal. I don't have my journal here this morning, okay? And I've read the Bible. I'm going through my 15th time now. And so I know I've read that story at least 14 times. And I remember that I went through it about 3 months ago. And in my journal, I wrote, God, I want to write out an absolute protest. This is the most ridiculous, unchristian, hateful, terrible, misogynistic thing I've ever seen in the Bible. I cannot defend this. What are you trying to prove? Okay? It's the Word of God. There's some stuff I did. Okay, I don't know what. See, if you're going to follow Christ, there will come a time when you got to come to a place of, okay, I don't know it all. And I think God says, finally, I can do something with you. When people turn their back on God, they're basically saying, I'm the center of all things. If I don't understand it, if it doesn't line up with the way I want to do things, then I can't accept it. Sorry. And people don't like being heard. Hey, this isn't all about you. Okay? They don't like that. Okay? Now God invites us into His world. He invites us into eternity. And He says, but look it, you're not gonna change me. Okay? And if you get to know me, and if you, cause I know you better than you know yourself, you're gonna find out that you're gonna want change. And He's the one to come and bring it better than anybody. Okay? Christianity, yeah, it's got contradictions. So why believe? This is really subjective, okay? Forgive me, but it's the best I got. Maybe God will use it for you. Because everywhere where it is lived authentically, and it's not lived authentically, okay? People use the Bible to do really stupid, hateful, controlling things. I get that. But everywhere where it is lived authentically, it changes cultures for the better, okay? And I'm not talking about the spread of religion. No. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the life of Jesus Christ being multiplied through his body, through his followers. Last Sunday, there were more Bible-believing Christians attending a worship service of some kind. Most of them were in homes in Red China than in all of Western Europe and the United States combined. Did you know that? More. Okay? And those are conservative estimates, not goofy, like, in the most secular society in the world, okay, where it shouldn't be happening. Oh, yeah, no, okay. That's why God says, my ways are not your ways, okay. I know what I'm doing. You follow me. I mean, all the church growth people, the church growth cult, you know, in North America, they hear about what's going on in China, and it defies every one of their principles and every one of their rules of how you're supposed to grow a church in North America. That doesn't work. Sorry, God's smarter than the church growth people. Okay? There are more Anglicans in church in the continent of Africa than in all of Western Europe and North America combined. The spiritual epicenter of the Anglican church, the one that has not abandoned the Bible and still believes it's the word of God, is in Africa. In fact, the Anglican churches in Africa, oh man, they're more spirit-filled than what we would call Pentecostal churches. These guys really, see, the manifestation of their Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues. The manifestation of their, it's not their Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. The greatest manifestation of the Holy Spirit is the impact they're having on their cities and on the poor and on sharing their wealth, you know? In other words, it's real. While we have trained, while we have taken something like the most powerful thing that we have on this face of the earth, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and turned it into a dogma and a doctrine that everybody fights over, they're changing the world with it. You go to Africa, talk to Asufu, okay? Talk to people that come over here and they see the impact of what the real church of God is doing there. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's not just about us. And what's more amazing about Africa, this is going on the most war-torn continent on the planet. I mean, there's more crazy dictators and people are getting killed every day there. It's nuts. And in the midst of that, here's this thriving, spirit-filled, Christ-honoring church. Why? Because in Africa and China, biblical Christianity is being lived out authentically. It's not grasping for political power. Got no time for that. There's poor people to be ministered to. There's people that are broken. There's people that we got to love. You know, God will let God take care of that. Why don't we seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto us? You know, where'd they get that from? I don't know. This is what I mean. Okay, John 13. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. Do you want more explicit? Okay, I was gonna read you all of 1 Corinthians 13. Okay? How be you do this? If you think that following Christ is just showing up on a Sunday morning, flush that out of your head and push it a little further. Open up your Bible before any of the football games today, okay, or whatever else you're gonna be doing today, and read. It will take you, well, if you rip right through, it'll take you 3 to 5 minutes. If you let the Lord speak to you, you might take an hour, but it will take read through 1 Corinthians 13. Okay? See, the problem with that verse is people, oh yeah, that's the wedding chapter. Oh, it's so nice and romantic. Listen, read that and put your, kind of line your concepts of what you think love is and what it should be to what is in 1 Corinthians 13. Whoa. It ends with, there's three left. Faith, hope, and love. Okay? Hope. That's wonderful. Isn't hope great? Hope is great. Hope is what the families in the, with the bus crash. That's what they need right now. Hope is, I mean, Barack Obama, man, he just milked that word for all it was worth. Got him elected twice. Hope, okay? Hope's what a great thing. Hope's wonderful. Love is greater. Love is greater. Faith, oh man, we like faith, don't we? Because we're charismatics, man. We're Pentecostal. Yeah, we're into that faith stuff. Let's move them mountains. You just got a little bit of mustard seed, boy. Faith, yeah, we're into faith. You know, raising the dead, we're into that stuff, aren't we? Love's greater. Love is greater than faith. Word says so. Doesn't say God is faith. Doesn't say God is hope. Yeah, he is, but he's more love than anything. And he's who we follow. He's who we emulate. It doesn't make sense to believe in God. Doesn't make sense to believe in God. It doesn't make sense to love your enemies. It doesn't make sense to forgive. It doesn't make sense to follow the character, the priorities of Christ. It doesn't make sense to surrender to him and let him live through you. But it changes lives. It changes neighborhoods. It changes families. It changes nations. It changes, it can even change churches. You know, as crazy that might sound. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Power of God. Power of God is most powerfully manifest in real self-sacrificing love. Okay? The power of God. The new Captain Marvel movie is coming out in March. I like superhero movies because I'm superficial and I'm not as mature as you are. Okay? And I saw a trailer. And Nick Fury is sitting across the table in a coffee shop with Carol Danvers, who's Captain Marvel. She says, "So you got any powers?" And she does this, you know, and like she's like this whatever lightning causing power, right, and blows up a wall right in front of him. And he says, "Okay, okay. I think the devil in your workplace in the neighborhood sees you following Christ. Got any powers?" And we don't respond with the weapons our warfare are not carnal. Okay, because the weapons of warfare that are carnal, they are not mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. They don't make a difference. They might impress people. They make good for movies, but they don't change history. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the falling down of strongholds. I want to remind you how I changed that scripture. I didn't do violence to it, but hopefully the Holy Spirit brought it a little more real to you. He is able to do far more than you can ask or imagine according to the towel that he has given you. Okay? We wash people's feet. Okay? Now when I say the towel, I know what the verse says. He is able to do far than you can ever imagine. Of course, the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work within you. And I'm telling you, the greatest, most empowered manifestation of the Holy Spirit is how you love and how you serve. That changes people's lives. Why God? Because nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And don't let any pinhead fool you into believing for a second in any other way. But promise me when you encounter those people, and I got to pray this because I encounter them a lot, and God's really helped me, okay? And you know, it's good to watch an example like Ravi Zacharias, you know, somebody that communicates powerful biblical truth with such compassion and grace and humility. Promise me that when you encounter this stuff, you're going to be known more for your love. You're going to be known for your kindness. You're going to be known more for the spirit of a loving Christ in you than all the facts that you just learned in church today. Oh, what did he say? If only I could remember that. No. Why do you think Jesus says to the disciples, when you're brought before the authorities, don't think about what to say, for the Holy Spirit will give you the words. If you're concentrating on loving people, if you're concentrating just making sure I want to love these people, what does the Bible say about love? It casts out all fear. Okay? It will take the fear away. And they won't be afraid of you or what you believe. In fact, you will warm them to Christ. Close your eyes. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we don't just have your word. We have your living word, the risen Christ, who promised that he would send us the great comforter, the counselor, the Holy Spirit. And your word shows us how to walk with you. And your word shows us what the greatest evidence is, Lord God, that we are followers of Christ. God, we're not good enough at this. We haven't cornered the market on it. But God, again, this Sunday, Lord, I pray you would loose your Holy Spirit. And we would have in this place a fresh baptism of love. Lord, you know Sergio and Allison, God, when they got baptized, Lord, and they came to me a week later and they knew that the Holy Spirit had done something real and alive in their lives. God, Lord, we all need that. And Lord, we ask for the greatest and most powerful manifestation of it, Lord God. Lord, a neighborhood, God, Lord, please, God, fill us with your spirit so we become what our neighborhoods need us to be, what our workplaces need us to be, what our spouses and family, God, and our kids and our parents and our uncles and cousins, what they need, what you, Lord, need us to be for them. In the name of Jesus. God, make us, Lord, as a body what this city needs, God. In the name of Jesus, and God, I confess I'm the pastor. I don't always know that, but that's why you want us pursuing you, because things are changing all the time. And you've always got the best solution any second, God, all the time if we're walking with you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody looking around, okay? Nobody looking around. And I ask you to keep your eyes closed, because I don't like people being embarrassed and centered out, because, you know, we do believe in dignity here. And if you don't know Christ, if you've never accepted him as Lord and Savior, okay, you may have gone to church all your life, but you never received Christ in your life. I'm only talking to people that have never done this before. If you've done this before and you feel like you need a recharge, look, you come to me and we'll pray before we leave the room, okay? But I'm talking about people who have never asked Christ into their life as Lord and Savior, and you want to do that this morning. We got a way of doing it where you're not embarrassed and you're not going to be centered out or anything, but I got to know, okay? And I want you to raise your hand real quick and put it back down again, okay? Raise your hand, put it back down again real quickly, okay? Okay, that's good. I'm assuming then that everybody in here, you know what it is and you've done that. And if you got make some type of recommitment, look, we sing here, we have fun, we have coffee. But you know what? You know what the highest priority in this room is when we come together? It's prayer. Praying with each other is a good thing. And we do it a lot. It's normal. And if you need prayer of any kind, don't leave until you get it. Okay? Don't leave until you get it. Father, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful family. God, help us with our blind spots. Keep us building each other up. Keep us protecting one another. Keep us seeing, Lord God, the value, the incredibly high value, Lord God, on everyone, Lord God, that you send to us to bless, to minister, to strengthen, to build up, and help us to be what we need to be, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.